Welcome to Novo Ed Talks, where we reveal real-world strategies and expert insights from learning and development professionals. In every episode, we chat with practitioners, course designers, learning strategists, and business leads. We hear about their experiences in the learning industry and predictions for the profession and the trends that they're seeing. But before we get started, a little bit about Novo Ed. Founded at Stanford's Social Algorithms Lab in 2012, Novo Ed is a people-centric, capability-building platform that combines social and collaborative learning to drive performance readiness at scale. Through cohort-based experiences centered around human interaction, Novo Ed taps into collective wisdom, placing each learner at the center of perspective, application, and expertise. Large enterprises such as 3M, GE, Marriott International, and Nestle partner with Novo Ed to accelerate their critical initiatives, reconnect teams, and achieve rapid alignment through learning that is felt, experienced, and swiftly transformed into impact. Now, let's meet our guest for today's episode.
All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Novo Ed Talks podcast, a podcast where we have a space for training trailblazers to get real. I always struggle with that, the training trailblazers part. Say that 10 times fast. Anyway, today I am joined by Beth Creek, a training specialist at a Fortune 500 company based out of the Midwest. She has been in L&D for 14 years and most recently made the switch to HR, so she's seen things through a little bit of a different lens here. She's talked a lot with me about how she likes to keep the learner at the center of everything she does, so I think she's going to have some great, great experiences to share with us today. So Beth, why don't we start by introducing yourself if you want to expand upon that and talk a little bit about your role and what you do.
Yeah, sounds good. Hi, Melissa. Yeah, happy to be here. I love talking about what I do. I focus on the onboarding program at my company and focusing on that crucial piece of the learner experience. You know, when you're new at a company, you're kind of scared. So keeping that in mind and making sure that we're helping them along their journey, you know, not just with the technical ins and outs, but how do we help the whole person? How do we make sure they feel safe? You know, they feel like they're included here and really helping them with their engagement with what our whole company is about.
I love that. And that's such a, so true. Like people, I think, and so many people don't take that into account, right? It is scary starting a new job. And it's like, hey, we don't just want to get this person ramped up. Like we got to like make them feel at home here a little bit too. So I love that. Can you speak a little bit more to like who these like learners are? Like, is it all types of ages? And like, what are some of their challenges? Like as you're onboarding them, are they, you know, unique to other organizations, or feel free to just elaborate on that.
Yeah, we hire folks from all across the country. So we're not global, but all across the country. So we have a very diverse workforce. It's all ages. It's people coming right out of college. It's folks making career shifts, you know, later in life, and just from all over the place. So that's really exciting. But it does present a few challenges here and there. So some of the challenges that we see with that is making sure that everyone is at the same level as far as technology goes. You know, we can't assume that they all know where these little buttons are in Zoom, for instance, when we have Zoom calls. So really level setting and making sure that that's, you know, that's cool for everyone.
I think that really captures it. Well, you know, you were talking about like level setting as far as like the tech goes and things like that. And I think that is really important, like, especially when, you know, I feel like tech is like, you could get a young person who you assume knows everything about tech. And then they're like, actually, like, I've never been on a Zoom call before. And you're like, really? And like, how is that possible? But I think it's good to not make assumptions, right? With what people know and what they don't know.
Yeah. And another challenge that we see with this virtual environment is engagement. You know, we let people, you know, be adults and be in control of their own cameras. We don't want to force anyone to be on camera if they don't want to, or if they're unable to. But how do we make sure that we get that engagement, you know, making sure that we're actually reaching them? So that's been a challenge. So I think one thing that we've done kind of successfully, I hope, is help like engaging them in the learning process, not just like teaching at them, but, you know, getting them involved in decision making, saying, hey, what works for you? And then also getting them connected with their peers, because peer learning is such a great way to learn, especially when you're new to a company. You've got these other folks who are new, also maybe a little bit scared. So developing those peer relationships early on so you can really lean on each other, we found that that's been very helpful as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Could you speak a little, like, do you have any kind of like technical examples of how you do that or how you kind of enable that at your organization?
Yeah, we really like putting people into small breakouts together and giving them something really meaningful to talk about. So finding out what they have in common. You know, they might be on completely different ends of the spectrum in the company. Like this person might be in the digital space. This person might be in marketing. But what do they have in common? You know, what are our common goals? Bringing it back to what are we all here to do? You know, what's our mission as a company and tying what they do every day up to that. Another way that we help people connect with each other is our onboarding buddy program that we have with new hires. So we have them set up with this, you know, peer learner who's usually someone on their team, so they have that go-to person who is a peer. You know, not everyone is comfortable going to their manager saying, "Hey, I don't know how to do this thing that I think is simple. I feel like maybe I shouldn't, you know, ask how to do this." But if they can go to a peer, you know, they're not only just building a relationship with that peer, they're getting those little tips and tricks and really learning the team norms from someone who's at their same level.
I love that. And like just going back to like what you're talking about, like, you know, people at a new place of employment can be like scary, you know? And it's like if they can have that, even like some of those little converse, like anecdotal conversations where like, ooh, I met like so and so and they were kind of intimidating, you know, and like share that experience with someone or like bond over that as well. I think that's so great. How does your, you know, speaking of like talking about like getting everyone kind of like up to the same level and like understanding for certain skills. How do you address skill gaps within the organization or, you know, when you're looking at like the onboarding process from early on, like are there things that you all look for from the very beginning that you can say, okay, this is like this person is not like there's a gap here that we need to get them up to speed a little bit quicker?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that first of all, there's a challenge in even being able to assess that skill gap, right? I think some L&D programs are more order takers than a business partner who goes in and actually assesses the situation. So my department is in the middle of trying to make sure that we're a trusted business partner and not just order takers, because we want our business partners to know that, hey, we can come in and do a gap analysis. We can drill down into exactly where you want your people to be, where they are now, and what is the best way to get them there. So building that relationship first and being that trusted business partner. But then once we are able to assess that skill gap, you know, spending a lot of time with the learners, you know, doing lots of focus groups, getting in there and saying, okay, what does your day look like? You know, what skill are we actually trying to fill in the gaps for? And, you know, and we know that training is not always the answer, right? Sometimes it's let's update this process, or wow, this software is so outdated, it's making the job hard to do. So again, going back to that learner focus, it's not always, you know, they don't know how to do this. It's there's a better way to do that. And so sometimes it's addressing a skills gap, and sometimes it's, you know, switching up the process, building out a better, you know, checklist for them to work on. So those are some of the things that we like to do.
That's great. And so like self-aware in a way, you know, because I think so many of us, you know, make these like, oh, it's really easy. You just follow steps A, B, and C, but we're missing like a nuance in that like because we do it all the time, that we understand very clearly how to do it. And then you're like, oh yeah, that like process actually doesn't make sense for someone who's coming in. So I love that. Talking about kind of like assessing skills gaps and things like that, kind of expanding upon from that. How do you currently measure the effectiveness of your programs, and like, what are some core KPIs that you look at that you need to potentially report to your superiors?
Yeah, that's a tricky one. I feel like it's constantly changing. Like the sands are always shifting as far as what do we measure? What can we actually tie back to our training programs that actually points to success? On my team, we're not focused so much on the day-to-day skills of the jobs. It's more, you know, career development conversations. It's, you know, how do I, you know, develop a good career path? How do I work better with my, you know, the things that are considered soft skills that I'm like, I've never liked that phrase. It's like, these are really important skills. I would say they're vital skills, not soft skills. So the metrics that we look at, we do try to figure out like, what is the learning objective? What are the actual behaviors that we want them to come out with on the other side? So trying to really drill down to that. And right now, the number one way that we're measuring that is through survey assessments. In this virtual environment, it's a little bit more difficult to, go in and observe people. So a lot of our data is survey driven. So we'll have a pre-assessment survey that might go out to both the learner and their manager. And then maybe 60 or 90 days after the course, we'll have another survey that goes out to both that says, hey, now that you have taken this training, how are your behaviors now? So it's like the same questions, same behaviors, to see if we can measure that lift. And so far we have seen a lift on in some of our classes that are really exciting, leadership development, people just being more mindful of how they're showing up every day, really embracing our company's values. So moving the needle on that kind of thing is exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you want to expand? My next question is here, can you share a successful case study or example? Do you want to expand a little bit on that just to share with our listeners, how that's really improved kind of the company overall?
Yeah, one of my favorite programs that we have is for emerging leaders. So individual contributors who are maybe interested in people leadership, or they just want to lead themselves better. Some of the questions that we ask on that pre-course assessment and the post-course assessment, specifically to the leaders, are they showing up with the leadership competencies that we've outlined that everyone in this company should show up with? So are they, really rallying their team, being a great team member? Are they delivering results? Are they holding themselves and others accountable? And so those are the kind of things that we ask their managers to directly observe and, look for that lift. So I have seen a lot of comments from leaders saying, hey, this is great. This one person took this course and now they're leading team meetings. Like they've brought back aspects of that course and they're doing teach backs to the rest of the team, so that they can improve their communication skills. So hearing people really, grabbing onto certain parts of these courses and saying, I'm really excited about this. Let's take this back to my team. That's probably one of my favorite success stories.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just so I feel like you want to see that, because it's like personal growth you see in someone too, and that's just always like such a great thing you want to see, and it strengthens bonds like at companies. I think that's amazing. All right, next question. As L&D programs have rapidly evolved over the past 5 years, what are some key takeaways that you've seen, either within your organization or just like from a bigger lens, about the industry in general? It's been a crazy, if you think about, I mean, it's kind of hard to believe that 2020 was 4 years ago now, but even before that, like what's happened, it's wild.
Yeah, and it just completely flipped everything upside down. And actually, that reminds me of the number one thing that I have seen, especially at my company and maybe across the industry, is the flipped classroom approach to learning, where students are, kind of given a lot of materials to kind of like try to digest and learn about. And then when they actually get to the virtual classroom, that's when the discussion happens and some of the ahas happen. So giving people a lot of autonomy on their own to really like work through some of the materials. And I think it's one been a challenge because when you have a really complex topic, like how does this really complex insurance product work, for example? Giving someone who has no insurance experience whatsoever, kind of a paragraph to read about that and maybe a few activities, it can be a little intimidating and it might not, do what we want it to do. So I think that at my company, we're still learning how to accurately do the flipped classroom approach, but we have seen it very successful in some of the soft skill programs. For instance, the leadership program that I'm so proud of, it's called Leading with Purpose, for our emerging leaders. We have them go off and meet in peer learning groups between the sessions. And in those sessions, they're 4-hour sessions. We have them go off into a breakout room and talk. So it's not 4 hours of the facilitators talking at them. It's let's guide the conversation and then have you go talk with your peers about what you learned last week when you did the pre-work. So we have seen it successful in certain programs, some programs where it's a little more technical. I think there's some work to do there.
Sure. Always, right? As the workplace continues to evolve, even past like all the changes that we've seen in the past 5 years, how do you see the future of L&D? Like, what trends or emerging technologies do you believe will shape the way organizations invest in their employees' growth? We hear AI come up a lot, for example, but would love to hear your insights into that.
Yeah, my number one answer was going to be AI. It's
Sorry.
everywhere and it's coming.
Yes.
It's coming. And things like Chat GPT, people are using that in just their everyday lives. Like, how do I craft this email? And off they go to Chat GPT. So I think that's indicative of where I think it's going overall. I think the industry is going more towards learner-driven activities and learner-driven outcomes. So I think that people are going to see even more autonomy, even more, on their own learning, like asynchronous learning. So I think that's where we're going. So I think we're going to see technology that supports that, not just AI, where you might have, a chatbot that's available that can answer those random questions that come up as you're trying to learn. But being able to take a course on your phone or on your tablet, anywhere you are. Like, I think that's where I would see things going. That's where I kind of like to see things going. I think when learners have more autonomy, they're more invested in the process and invested in the outcome.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, like everyone has such crazy lives nowadays. It's like that's makes complete sense to be able to like adapt to like their like they're more willing to do it at a time when they're willing to do it versus being like, hey, you got to do it now, right? So
Yeah, I want to be on a beach in Cabo working on this spreadsheet, right?
oh, mid-February here, like let's go. Anyway, as a fun little send-off, and feel free to like elaborate on this, change it up, anything else you'd like to add. But what advice would you give to those just stepping into a leadership role in learning and development or HR?
For anyone stepping into a leadership role, I would say always keep your people at the center of what you do. I always say people over process. Some leaders are really great at figuring out those processes, and some leaders are just a little bit better with working with the people side of things. So I think that's for any industry, but keeping your people at the center, being really aware of making that psychological safe space, because that's where we start to build trust. And I think that's at the center of everything we do. No matter what we're trying to accomplish, we need to build trusting relationships to accomplish anything. So keep the people at the center, really listen, lean in, the phrase that everyone like has been overusing, but I'll use it anyway. Really lean in, and try to stay humble. Try to stay humble. Like, we don't have the answers. Our people usually have the answers. So, rely on them as trusted partners, not just the people that you lead. So that would be my advice.
That's amazing advice, Beth. What a great send-off. Thank you so much for your time today, and I hope everyone has enjoyed another episode of Novo Ed Talks.